Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Now that's the sound of rock cracking. You've got Doc Holliday once again on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're glad to have you. We are here ending up the month of September, kicking off the month of October. You know what that means? That means the elections in November are coming very close. We're getting down to some nitty-gritty. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. The main part of today, though, we're going to be talking about President went to New York City for what? Yeah, there was a climate change summit. United Nations people gathered from around the world leaders. And we're going to be talking about the subject of global warming, climate change. And there's a new term now because climate change doesn't quite meet the criteria. Listen and hear what the United Nations wants us to call it now. And we have got a clip from Dr. Roy Spencer, and along with President Obama. You want to be sure to listen to that. And then before we get to that, we're going to have a little time to talk about going to war. We have gone to war in Syria in the middle of a civil war. And was it debated in Congress? We're going to talk about that. And before we do, let me get you right into the politics of the today. What you need to know this week, is there a red wave coming in November? It's tough to answer that. As much as Republicans and conservatives want to say, this is it. We are going to have a wave like 2010. There are potential criteria that could come together to make that happen. What did I tell you last week? I said, watch the governor's race in Colorado. And if you'll go back and listen to last week's show, if you missed it, be sure to listen about that segment about why I feel like the Colorado governor's race will help define what's happening across the nation if there's a red wave growing for conservatism. And guess what? After I made that announcement last week and said, listen, there's been more and more articles written about the Colorado governor's race and what's going on and why the Democrat Hickenlooper is in trouble from our good friend of this show, former Congressman Bob Beaupre. And I'm pulling for Bob Beaupre. I'll tell you that because we need somebody like him to help head up the governors, but especially for the people of Colorado. They've had too much blue, too much liberalism, and they're sick and tired of it. It's time to put somebody with some common sense in there. That's Bob Beaupre. So our Colorado listeners, go out and vote. And this is different because Colorado is following the footsteps of Oregon and Washington, and they are voting by postcard. They're mailing in their ballots. So it's a little different. Some of you have already started or not started, but getting ready to start pretty soon in Colorado. So make sure those who are going to vote for Bob Beaupre get their ballots in the mail. Please do. Now, there are some other races to talk about, of course, around the country. One thing we have to look at when you're looking at polling, it's not always correct. We know polls can be across the board, but they give you a sense of direction. And I want you to look at the state of Arkansas. That's the home of Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. Does she call it home? I doubt it. But looking at Arkansas, it is a very strong bellwether of what's going on. And the people of Arkansas right now in the polling have got, some of the polls have got Cotton, the challenger to the Democratic incumbent David Pryor. They've got Representative Cotton now 6 points ahead in this race. That would be a significant move. If we see Cotton pulling ahead, you will see the Democratic National Senate committee that's funding the Democrats and trying to keep power, they may cut Pryor off of some of that money he so desperately needs to try to hang on to his seat. Now, they won't do it unless we see the polls zeroing in higher. But if that momentum keeps going, Pryor could be cut off so they could try to save the Senate at other states, states like Louisiana. But again, we see the incumbent down there, Mary Landrieu. She is in a big mess of trouble. Of course, Louisiana, it's a primary that everybody's name's on the ballot. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. You are on the ballot, and if nobody gets 50% in November, it'll be a month later, they'll run it off, the top two. So that is a significant state. I do want to take you to the state of Michigan. Up there, there's a Ms. Land is a Republican nominee trying to win the open seat that retired Senator Levin is leaving, but the Democrat is ahead up there a couple of points. Very close, a Republican wave. They're going to be voting for governor there, and the current governor is Republican, Governor Snyder. Can the Republicans get enough voters out to override the Democratic Party's run of the Senate seat there in Michigan for decades now? Very interesting. Those races going from the border of Canada down to the Gulf of Mexico. But those three states, you really need to watch. I want to throw one more out, and that is New Hampshire, where we see former Senator Scott Brown, who was senator in Massachusetts, if you know, ended up beating the lady that's running for governor now. He beat her to win the Senate seat that Ted Kennedy had before him. Then he got beat by the liberal Miss Warren, and some people are saying she may run for president from Massachusetts now. But what's going on in New Hampshire? The incumbent, Shaheen, she is losing ground, although she was up 10, 12 points all during the summer, moved down to 8, 9, and some polling has it down to 4 or 5. Can Scott Brown keep the momentum in New Hampshire? That is an interesting race. So a lot to look at. We will continue each week looking at these polling numbers, looking at the races. And I want you to get involved in the states that you are in or have relatives in, that make sure we get conservative leaning. Is everyone a perfect conservative? Is Scott Brown a perfect conservative? By no means. No, he is not. But remember, as we opened up the segment, you heard Bono of U2 singing, "I will sing a new song." Folks, America needs a new song. The Republican Party doesn't have it all, but it's a beginning. And if we can get more minorities, more African Americans, more Hispanics to see the beauty of the Republican Party's platform and to understand some things that I'm going to talk about in the second half of the show, when we get to climate change, global warming, I'm going to tell you about some ways that it is devastating to the poor and the middle class. We keep pushing controlling global warming. Is it science or is it a hoax? I don't know exactly how you feel, but I can tell you people don't understand how the liberals, progressives, have hurt the poor and the middle class. We're going to be talking about that in the second half of the show. But first, before we get to that, I do want to tell you about this fight in Syria. The president has ordered airstrikes. Now, he had ordered those in Iraq, but now he has entered a civil war in the country of Syria. ISIS is strong in Syria and has large swaths of desert land in Iraq. He continues fighting in northern Iraq, where we saw the airstrikes helping out in some of the villages, but there's not been a reverse of the ground gained by ISIS. And we'll have to continue watching what's going on. And I told you, I believe I told you last week, if you didn't hear it, there are women and units of the Kurds. Kurds have all women units. Now, why would they do that? Well, if you didn't understand it, if you missed last week's show, go back and listen. But they have women units because some of the members of ISIS and other Islamic jihadists believe if you get shot by a woman, then you don't get your 72 virgins in heaven. And you don't even get a direct ticket to heaven. Now, the jihadists believe such a myth that it's almost, we need to be telling the truth. These jihadists that die after beheading little children, you think they're going to heaven? Well, somebody needs to tell them there's a hell where a lot of their comrades are already burning, and they're going to meet their comrades in hell as they continue to devastate everything that civilization is building to. If we can't build peace and talk, if you use religion and use Allah to chop heads off, to rip heads off babies, to rape women, to destroy families, to kill the men and the boys, that is an abomination. Now, saying all that to tell you, we are in war in Syria. And when you start lobbing bombs and killing people, and the president says it's not war, well, it's war. And why are we doing that? What right do we have that? To his credit, Senator Rand Paul, and we've talked, and I've told you, I talked with him last year, and I've met Rand Paul, and I know he's getting geared up to possibly run for president. But he had a serious, serious discussion, debate. He said, where's the debate? The most serious question that Congress can have, do we send our troops to war? And the president said no ground troops are going in. But what do you call ships? What do you call the cruise missiles? How do you get those guided missiles to hit the targets? Are troops in there? Do we have people and personnel in Iraq? Of course we do, in the embassy. And we are going to war by the president's proclamation. And we have not had a debate in Congress. A shame. Shame on Harry Reid. Shame on the United States Senate, the United States House. Well, the House has talked about things, but they put it in a spending bill and said, let the president fire at will. And they did not even document or debate that because why? Paul Rand said, because of an election, people are cowering away from doing their duty to debate about war. It's given to Congress to decide if we go to war. It's not the president's decision. It's Congress's decision. And we are letting the press and letting the liberals, letting the progressives and letting the conservatives get away with not debating if we should be at war in the middle of a civil war in Syria. It is a serious, serious accusation when we say we have gone to war without constitutional authority. Thank you, Senator Rand Paul. Thank you for being true. Thank you for standing up and talking about hard things while the Democrats cower in their seats afraid of the election coming up in November. Go ahead, cowards. You don't deserve to be reelected if Harry Reid won't even let you debate on men and women going to war in the middle of a civil war. Now, which side are we on? Are we on Assad's side? No, we say we want him defeated. Are we on the rebel side? Well, we are on some of the rebel side. One of the things that Senator Rand Paul said, we have already sent 600 tons of equipment to the Syrian rebels. How many of those weapons has ISIS gotten control of? Much of it. How many weapons did ISIS get control of the equipment, the military tanks and equipment that the United States left to Iraq? They got a hold of an immense amount of American equipment. And who says that the rebels we support with arms aren't going to turn around and sell them to the oil-rich ISIS terrorist? Who can you trust? There's only one thing I see when you go to the Middle East and you see the war fighting. I can't tell you how I feel about Syria. I feel like Rand Paul, it should be debated. But I tell you, in Iraq, the fighting Kurds, the Kurds are not afraid to fight, but they need weapons. I say give the Kurds the weapons and let them roll and roll back ISIS. That's how you defeat this. That's how you get boots on the ground. Use the Kurds and fund them and give them the weapons they need and let them roll back this jihadist Islamic State called ISIS. Wow. We have got a lot more to cover, and we're coming up in just a minute for the second half of the show. First, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. There's a lot of great shows on Web Talk Radio. Look at the other shows. You'll be glad you did. Newt Gingrich got a show. Got to listen to his show on www.webtalkradio. Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right up there at the top. We're glad you're listening to us. But check out the other shows and check out the website. You can check out my website. We have had some trouble the last couple weeks of trying to keep it up. And so it should be up and rolling now. Please go to the website and check on the book called Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Order that for your friends, your neighbors, your relatives. It's already time to think about Christmas, right? Well, order your book. We'll be glad that you got it. It helps keep us on the air, and we appreciate the growing audience. You're telling your friends and neighbors across the country as we see our numbers grow. We're still growing across the globe. Of course, most of our listeners are in the United States, but we welcome those who listen to us around the globe. Thank you for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And now, let me get you ready for the second half of the show as we talk about global warming. All right? You know she's gonna leave you alone.
Worldwide, this summer was the hottest ever recorded. Worldwide, this summer was the hottest ever recorded.
Really, Mr. President? This is what the president has just said last week at the National Worldwide Climate Change Summit. In the United Nations, that's what President Barack Obama said, the hottest summer ever recorded. Was that in world history, Mr. Obama? Was that in world history, our president? Well, there are a lot of things that were strung together in a speech by President Obama that is completely, completely been proven not true by scientists. 31,000 scientists have not bought into the global warming. Now, some things you need to know right off the bat. Some of you are going, oh, here's Doc Holliday. He's just another climate skeptic. Am I a climate scientist? No, I am not. Am I a person who loves America and understands some statistics, understands there is history, understands there is a group out there that wants to see America fail? That's what Doc Holliday is, a voice of reason talking to the masses. That's you. That's you listening. And when the old rock group Kiss from, when I say old, I mean they're getting in their 60s and close to 70, I think. But from the 70s, the old rock group Kiss singing hot, hot, hotter than hell. Well, that's what President Obama wants us to believe. He said it's the hottest summer on record. Does that mean in all of history? Well, we got some clips from scientist Roy Spencer, and we're going to let him speak in just a little bit. But I just want to tell you right off the bat on this part about global warming, and it is called climate change. And guess what? I told you there's another name that's coming out, climate disruption. Global warming goes to climate change, and now they want to call it climate disruption. Climate disruption, I don't want to be crude, but you know, that's climate disruption sounds like what happens when someone passes gas in a small room during an important meeting or something. That's more like climate disruption. I just have to tell you, these people believe in it. Believe in it with all their heart and soul, and they've told us these statistics. But the truth of the matter is, why are they changing the terms from global warming to climate change? You got to understand they're losing, because all the years of predicting the models and the hockey stick graph, the famous hockey stick graph, some call it MANN, M-A-N-N, made, because the producer of the hockey stick graph was Dr. Mann, M-A-N-N, and he has profusely stretched statistics, and he won't let anybody else try to reproduce his work. Why? Because it's not reproducible, because he manipulated it. And in fact, they're having some court action on that now. You can check with Mr. Stein, that sometime goes on and does the Rush Limbaugh radio show. But I'm telling you right here what you need to understand. When they tell us that, and President Obama went on and said that global warming, that, you know, that the carbon footprint's rising as our temperature rises. But guess what? The temperature has not risen in the last 17 years. And yet we hear this propaganda over and over that the temperatures are rising. That is not true. So that's why they're beginning to use the word climate change and now climate disruption. And if you want to say climate disruption, just go down. They had that huge march in New York City. The streets were trashed. These are the people who want to say stop pollution, and they trash the streets when they march. Go back to what the Restoring Rally was of Glenn Beck in Washington, D.C. Almost 1 million protesters, at least 700,000-800,000. And the streets were clean. There's a difference in who does marching. There's a difference. And when you get bussed in and people paid to march, they're going to leave a mess. They just always do. And it leaves us, this global warming hoax is leaving a mess that is destroying and increasing what? It's destroying the middle class and increasing the class of poor. The poverty-stricken families are increasing because of this fight against the hoax of global warming. And let's go on with this show. What I'm going to do, I'm going to let the president speak a little bit, and I'm going to break in and at his climate disruption speech last week at the United Nations. And then we're going to have also some clips from Dr. Roy Spencer, and one of 31,000 scientists who say this is not true.
And into the sting of more frequent extreme weather events that show us exactly what these changes may mean for future generations. No nation is immune. In America, the past decade has been our hottest on record. Along our eastern coast, the city of Miami now floods at high tide.
Where does our president get his information? Probably the same place that they told him, if you want your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your insurance, you can keep your insurance. The temperatures in America and around the world have not increased in 17 years. The hottest recorded decade. You are kidding me, Mr. President. Yes, things have gone up, but look where the temperatures are coming from. Wait, we're going to play some clips from Dr. Roy Spencer here before long, and he'll repudiate Mr. President. All right, go ahead, President Obama.
In our West, wildfire season now stretches most of the year. In our heartland, farms have been parched by the worst drought in generations and drenched by the wettest spring in our history. A hurricane left parts of this great city dark and underwater, and some nations already live with far worse.
Manipulation of emotions. Has weather been extreme? Yes, you can find extreme weather. Could you find it 30 years ago? Yes. Could you find it 50 years ago? Yes. Did we have extreme weather 100 years ago? Yes. Do we have more video to capture this? Do we have more people with video cameras that can capture extreme weather? Yes, we do, Mr. President. Don't manipulate the emotions. That is driving the hoax. The heart of the hoax is the emotional response that these leaders try to elicit from those low information citizens of the world. Don't fall into that trap.
Worldwide, this summer was the hottest ever recorded, with global carbon emissions still on the rise. So the climate is changing faster than our efforts to address it. The alarm bells keep ringing. Our citizens keep marching. We cannot pretend we do not hear them. We have to answer the call.
Mr. President, when 600,000-700,000 citizens gathered for the Restoring Honor rally in Washington, D.C. in 2010, did you heed their call? Oh, just because citizens march, does it mean you have to heed their call? How about heeding science? Let's listen to some science right here from Dr. Roy Spencer, one of the 31,000 scientists who have put together information to repudiate this driving hoax of climate change. Let's listen to Dr. Roy Spencer.
Okay, I like this graph. It shows that nearly every century might experience global warming or cooling. This is a relatively recent summary of proxy evidence of past temperatures. I like it because it goes back 2,000 years and covers the Roman warm period. And basically it shows Roman warm period was just as warm, I mean within the error of the measurements, as it is today. I'm not sure whether that could have been because of how they powered their chariots. I suppose that's possible. And then the medieval warm period, we know that was warm historically. I mean, just based on historical records, farming in Greenland, you got to be kidding. You know, and then the Vikings finally got forced out after 100 or so years. We have historical records of that. Climate changes naturally, and just about every century in the last 2,000 years, if you look at it, that the proxy records had global warming or cooling. Okay?
There you have it. Temperature, climate change has happened for the past 2,000 years. And if it's happened for the past 2,000 years, what does carbon emissions have to do with it? Very little, if anything, people. Am I saying 100% carbon has nothing to do with our climate change? Well, man-made carbon emissions, it may have an infinitesimal amount, very tiny. I'm not saying it's impossible to have any effect, but it's not enough to spend hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars on to hurt the poor and the middle class. People in America, the poor in America, have suffered because of this global warming hoax. Think about the electric bills the poor have to pay. Think about the working poor who have to put gasoline in the tanks to get to work. And for the past 20 years, they've paid double of what they should have paid. And you're telling me that money in their pockets would not have helped their families, would not have helped them. And you're telling me that we are continuing to shove down the throats of America policies that are based on hoaxes. Well, let's let Dr. Spencer continue with one more segment here, then we'll wrap it up.
Now, this is a graph that we came up with, John Christie and myself, that turned out to be much more popular than we ever imagined it would be. And it's just a straight comparison between the climate models, which almost universally, in fact, from what Pat Michaels said yesterday, universally, produce too much warming. You know, over 100 climate models, and they produce too much warming compared to the observations, whether you're talking about surface temperatures from thermometers or our satellite data. There's a huge disconnect between the two. Now, what is astounding to me is that, and I come from a weather forecasting background, okay? You know, we use computer models for weather forecasting. They work very successfully on a time scale of 1 to 2 days in advance. You know, they're just marvels to me. They're almost magical. And we test them. We test, you know, twice a day there are forecasts made, and then the weather forecast centers around the world do statistics of how well they've done. Climate models are not even forecasting. Those curves you see on that chart, those are hindcasts. They already knew what the answer was. They already knew how much warming there was, and they still can't get the climate models to produce that little bit of warming. Now, you tell me the climate models can be believed for policymaking? You've got to be kidding.
Yes, Dr. Spencer, I agree. You've got to be kidding. And yet our president and our Congress continues to use these climate models to scare, to cause hysteria, and to cause the public taxpayers' money to be poured into research. Now, this is getting to the crux of the matter. They always say, follow the money. Over $4 billion a year are handed out to professors and universities who continue to show global warming is causing some problems and will continue to cause problems. And guess what? No funding's being given to those who try to show this a hoax. So who's going to get the money? Those who show that global warming is a problem. If they want to continue to get grants and money to continue research, they must show global warming is a threat. And yet we know the temperature has not changed, has not gone up in the last 17 years. For those who don't understand, yes, we've had increased temperature starting in the late 1970s, and it continued. But guess what? Looking at the charts, it's not from carbon footprints, just like Dr. Spencer said. We had these temperatures back in the Roman days. It had a spike of temperature when Greenland was farmed by the Vikings around 1,000 years ago. And now, listen to me, people. Carbon emissions and temperature change do not go hand in hand. They have for the last 30 years. So is it a coincidence or is it fact? Well, this is what I want to leave you with at this show. The next 5 to 6 years, we'll know. Tell your global warming believers, will you stop believing if the winters are more cold in the next 5 to 6 years? We may have a blurb or a blip, but the models show us, if you look at the sunspots and how they affect temperatures, we're at the end of the warm cycle. We are about to go into a cooling period. And this is the truth that needs to be known and tell the global warming people to put up or shut up. And we can't let them have the word climate change. Yes, climate change is like Dr. Spencer says, every century. So now, let's finish up the show with this comment. I go to the front page as I talk about this show. I got a link to an article I wrote in my local paper. Drew a lot of people disappointed, people shocked that somebody couldn't believe what they've been told year after year and decade after decade, that carbon emissions causes global warming and it's going to get hotter and hotter. It's not, people. It's not. It's enough to stand on now that this is a hoax. And please, please look at the scientific data from those scientists who aren't getting $4 billion a year to make up statistics that scare people. Look to the 31,000 scientists who say, this is not, that carbon emissions is not causing temperature change. Look at the scientist. So that's the way we're going to end the show. That next week, I got to tell you, we're getting closer to the midterm elections. We're going to do more on elections. Hope to have some statistics put together about what's going on with the polling numbers. And you will want to listen to next week's show. I'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us today. And remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.